Good morning, church. Welcome to our online service. We're continuing our series on the Gospel of Mark, and I have entitled today's sermon, Adversity Equals Opportunity. And I believe this is a very timely message for us as a church in light of the events that are happening in our world. And so it is my prayer that God would speak to our hearts as we meditate on this word or on this passage that we will be studying this morning. So let's read the passage before us, Mark chapter 10, beginning verse 46 through 52. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning that you have given us, that we can study your word as families in our homes. We believe, God, that this is a very timely message for us as a church. And I pray that this message, Lord, would provide comfort, encouragement, and guidance, oh God, as we navigate through this crisis that we are all experiencing right now. I pray that you would grant us the faith that Bartimaeus had, kind of desperation that he had. We know, Lord, we are experiencing this crisis, Lord, for a purpose, God. And nothing can thwart your good plans and purposes, oh God. And so allow us, Father God, to learn the lessons that you want us to learn during this moment, oh God. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. A central figure of our passage is a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And to appreciate him, I think we need to see him in contrast to some of the other figures that we have seen in this chapter. First, there was the rich young ruler who came to Christ eagerly, and he asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Somehow asking, "What am I lacking?" He has climbed the religious ladder and he has reached the top. He is a well-respected man, very successful, and he is wondering what he left out. You see, the guy could not deny that there is this hole in his life. He is afraid that he doesn't have a relationship with God that could be defined as eternal life. Now, being God, being omniscient, Jesus knew that this man was very self-righteous and that money was his God. And so in order to expose his true condition, Jesus gave him a radical command. And you would remember what Jesus told him. "You lack one thing, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Now, by saying that, Jesus is not implying that salvation is earned by giving away our material possessions. The Bible is clear on this subject. We are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. But if we're mindful of the context, we would realize that Jesus gave this radical command because he is merely placing his finger on the root of this man's problem. At this point, the rich young ruler was not ready to follow Jesus because his wealth, his money, occupied the place that only God should have in his life. Money was his idol. Money was his God. And so Mark tells us, upon hearing what Jesus said, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The tragic thing about this is that he never questioned what Jesus said, never even argued. He simply walked away. And that's happening in our world today. There are many people who are walking away from Christ because they are too in love with this present world. And of course, there were the two disciples of Jesus, the brothers, James and John. They came to him and they said, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." See, James and John wanted thrones and glory. They were hungry for honor and power. And they clearly reflect the spirit of this world. Many people today live for the same things. They will do whatever it takes to have that power, to have that authority. See, it's against these men that we're introduced to Bartimaeus. A man who had no wealth. A man who had no prospect of glory or power. See, here we have a man who knew very well his desperate condition, and he follows the Lord without any invitation. And here I want you to see that Bartimaeus gives us a very good example to follow, especially during this difficult time. We all know that we are living in very uncertain times. Practically everyone in the world today is affected by this pandemic. We know malls are closing, churches are canceling their services. Hospitals are overwhelmed and overburdened by this crisis that is taking place. People are scrambling for solutions to this crisis, and there seems to be no clear solution in sight. Obviously, this is something that we have never experienced as a city, as a church, and as a nation. The thing is, we do not know how long this will last. But my hope and prayer is that as we study this passage, we would all realize that a trial can be a blessing if it leads you closer to God. If you have the right perspective, you can actually turn adversity into an opportunity. In the case of Bartimaeus, his blindness led him to desperately cry to the Lord for deliverance. And if we are to respond like him, we will discover that we have a God who hears our cries. We have a God who responds to our need. We have a God who is sovereign, who is in perfect control, and we have a God who can be trusted during this time. So having said all that, let us now dive into our text and let's pick it up in verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho." Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. Jericho is a town 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It is the last major city on the edge of the Judean wilderness on the way to Jerusalem. And you need to understand, in this part of Mark's narrative, Jesus will soon make the 3,500-foot climb from Jericho to Jerusalem, where he will give his life as a ransom for many. That's what he told his disciples in the previous episode in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. But before he does that, Jesus stops and he ministers to a hurting man. Mark says, "And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." Now his name Bartimaeus literally means son of honor. And this is quite ironic because he was the recipient of anything but honor and respect. He was marginalized and sidelined by society. Because of his physical condition, Bartimaeus could not find a job to earn a living. In that day, there were no welfare programs or social security or government programs to which he could turn. So his life was filled with darkness, never seeing the beauty of God's creation. He lived a life of bondage to his condition. And Bartimaeus was totally dependent upon the generosity of others in order to survive. That is why Mark tells us that he was sitting by the roadside. This was probably near the gate of the city where the traffic would have been heaviest and where he could collect the most alms in order to survive another day. And as he was sitting there, he heard a large crowd approaching. Now, there's really nothing unusual about this since this was a very well-traveled road. But on this particular day, Bartimaeus noticed something different. There was evidently some unusual excitement in this crowd. Because Luke writes in his account that as he heard the multitude going by, he began to inquire what this might be. And when Bartimaeus discovered that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Mark tells us in verse 47, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now this is significant because Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, calls Jesus the Son of David. He's no theologian, he's no rabbi or scholar, but Bartimaeus made this profound and accurate description about our Lord, that He is the Son of David. You need to understand the Son of David is a messianic title. And he knew exactly what it was. The Messiah was to be the heir of David's throne according to 2 Samuel chapter 7. David's greater son would be the king who would bring the fulfillment of the promises given to Abraham and David. So the question we want to ask now is this: how can a blind man make such a profound and accurate statement regarding our Lord? Well, we are not told how he learned of the Lord, but you can imagine Bartimaeus being a beggar sitting by a well-traveled road, all day he would pick up information from all over the land of Israel as merchants and pilgrims were passing by. And being blind, Bartimaeus may have become very good at listening. And so he probably heard the miracles that Jesus was able to perform, how he was able to cleanse lepers, how he made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, how he spoke with much authority. And as he picked up on the news, he made some significant connections between the miracles that he heard reported and the wonders that had been predicted in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah to come. You see, for example, in Isaiah chapter 29 and 35, we are told that when the Messiah comes, the lame and the deaf would be healed, and the eyes of the blind would be opened. And so, hearing that Jesus was performing these miracles, he concluded that Jesus is the promised Messiah. He was the Son of David. And here we see that the faith of Bartimaeus was based on truth. The faith of Bartimaeus was based on Scripture. And if we are to turn adversity into an opportunity, you and I need to understand that your faith, our faith, must be based on truth. It should not be based on feelings or personal opinion or preferences or what's popular. For us to respond the right way to this crisis, we need to return to the truth concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the only way that can happen is when you have spiritual eyes that see Him for who He really is. Now, as you're watching this video, you probably have 20/20 vision. You can see me very well. But if you are spiritually blind, let me just say that you are lost and you are living in complete darkness. You see, a spiritually blind person cannot see the right way. And because of that, he's stumbling along the pathway of sin. And on top of that, a spiritually blind person does not see the beauty of our Lord. He will not have a desire to love God, to serve Him, to worship Him. See, those are some of the marks of a person who is spiritually blind. Now, Bartimaeus may be physically blind, but again, if there was one thing that was going for him, it was this. He had spiritual sight. And that spiritual sight gave him the faith to believe in Jesus as the Son of David. John MacArthur said this: his heart had seen the light before his eyes ever saw the light. His heart had seen Jesus before his eyes ever saw Jesus. And here I want you to see that the faith of Bartimaeus stands in sharp contrast to the stubborn spiritual blindness of the religious leaders who rejected Jesus and who will oppose him and plot his death. So let me ask you today, how is your vision? Are you looking through the eyes of faith? Or are you blind to the things of God? Maybe you have been saved by grace, but the cares and burdens of life have clouded your vision and you are living in fear. Well, if your faith is based on truth, let me just remind you, you can bring your burdens and your cares to the Lord. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to respond like the world. Let your faith be based on truth. And remember, God can give you the wisdom and the strength that you need to get back on track living faithfully for Him. So the first thing that we need to do if we are to turn adversity into opportunity, we need to make sure that our faith is based on truth. Secondly, we need to cry out to Jesus for mercy. That's what Bartimaeus did. Here is a man who recognizes Jesus as the true Messiah. And here is a man who knows what he needs. He needs mercy. He knows he's not deserving of anything and he knows it. He would have understood the theology of his people as well and thought himself cursed by God because he was blind. He knows he is a sinner. And as Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. He knew that at that moment, the greatest opportunity had come for him. But as he cried out for mercy, take a look at verse 48. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. The reason for the rebuke is not given. Most likely, a blind beggar was viewed as socially insignificant to command the attention of an important rabbi like Jesus. You see, Bartimaeus was determined to get to Jesus. Despite the hindrance, despite the challenge, despite the rebuke that he received from this crowd, Mark tells us he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." In this episode, Bartimaeus serves as a model disciple. Not only does he come humbly asking for mercy, but when the crowd tries to silence him, he persists in his cry. You see, the desperation that Bartimaeus had and the sense of urgency that he had, he saw that this opportunity might never return again. Apparently, Jesus had never passed that way before, and for all Bartimaeus knew, he might never pass that way again. And so this was his only shot, his only chance to have this encounter with the Lord Jesus and to receive healing. And as a people and as a nation, I believe this is the time for us to humble ourselves just like Bartimaeus, to humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we need Him in our lives and acknowledge that we have sinned against a holy God. This is the time for us to repent and turn from our wicked ways. Do not miss this opportunity, friend. Because this opportunity might never come back. Now is the best time for you to do a spiritual evaluation on your life. Do you have spiritual sight or are you suffering from spiritual blindness? Only you can answer that question. And I believe God is speaking to you through this sermon. A lot of times we tend to be so preoccupied with our work, with our business, we don't have the time to think about the things that really matter in life. But now, because of the directives given by our government, we have so much time to reflect on these things. If you are lost in sin and spiritually blind, you need to understand that if you allow salvation to pass you by this morning, you may never be given this opportunity again. You see, you cannot be saved anytime you want to be saved. So don't procrastinate. Don't delay. Respond to the gospel of grace today. Now, if you are a Christian and you are living in fear, again, let me just say this. You have the opportunity this morning to cast all your cares to Jesus. You need to understand that Jesus loves you. He died for you on that cross to save you. And He will do just that today. Again, if you will come to Him and trust Him. You come to Him like Bartimaeus with a sense of urgency, a kind of desperation that causes you to run to Him no matter how great the hindrance. Now, the third way we can turn adversity into opportunity is to take courage and know that God is in control. Verse 49 says, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.'" Here, Jesus singles him out and he calls Bartimaeus, and through his words and actions, Jesus shows his compassion for the broken and the hurting. We have a God who is not distant. We have a God who is very personal. He responds to those who are in great need of him. And so they call the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. He is calling you." Now, that expression, "take courage," is found 7 times in the New Testament. And 6 of the 7, it is used by our Lord. This is the only time when it is used by someone other than the Lord. And so the Lord says through his messengers, "Take courage." Take courage is a command of hope, one that the Lord often spoke in his ministry to ease those who were doubting, to ease those who were in distress. And what a timely word or command this is for us right now. In light of the things that are happening in our world right now, as Christians, we can take courage because our God is in perfect control. So we need to remember that. And at this point, we need to see that Jesus here gives us an example on the way we are to minister to people during this time. The church, if it is to be the church of Jesus, can never be like the crowds who try to repress the urgent yells of those who are desperately in need of help. And today we know cries and yells are being heard everywhere in the world. And so as Christians, how do we respond to that? Well, like Jesus, we must be willing to listen, to stop, and to respond. While our interaction with the world, with our office mates perhaps, the people that we work with, is very limited because of our situation right now, let us remember that we cannot quarantine the gospel, and we must use technology, social media, whatever means possible to spread this message, to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is the perfect time for your unsaved loved ones and friends to know that there is hope in this life, and that hope can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that we cannot be apathetic to the greatest needs of those around us. You need to understand their greatest need is not physical, but spiritual. And while there may be no proven cure for COVID-19 as of this time, as Christians we know that God has provided a cure for the deadliest virus called sin that has contaminated every person in this world. So let us take this time to share the gospel, to be salt and light in this world. We should never be so busy that we cannot stop and help. Remember, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to die. We see that in verse 32. He is determined to fulfill his destiny. In fact, it says he was walking ahead of them. Jesus was leading the way. He was about to accomplish the mission that his Father has given him. So from a human perspective, he had more important things on his mind. He had more important things to do. He's about to give his life for the sins of the world. But Jesus stopped. He stopped. And so today we need to learn the art of stopping. This is a great time to stop and think about the needs of those around us. As a husband, are you asking yourself at this time, what are the needs of my wife? Or what are the needs of my husband? What are the needs of my children, my neighbor, my mom, my dad? Daniel Aiken said, "Don't get so caught up with the masses that you miss the one. Don't get so paralyzed by the billions that you don't take the time just to help one." He said, "Pray for one at a time. Protect one at a time. Evangelize one at a time. Disciple one at a time. Feed one at a time. Clothe one at a time. Serve one at a time." Church, there is always someone who needs our help. But the question is, do you see them? And as you see their needs, are you stopping like Jesus? Are you taking the time to listen to them, to minister to them, to be a blessing to them? You see, men may be callous to the needs and concerns of others, but the Lord never becomes callous to our situation and to our needs. So let us follow the example of our Lord here. No one is too insignificant to Jesus to command His attention. As we have seen in Mark's gospel, a leper, a woman with hemorrhage, little children, a blind beggar, all receive Jesus' care and attention. So as Bartimaeus heard them say, "Take courage, get up, He's calling you." Verse 50 says, "And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." This means that he threw aside his outer garment, his outer coat, and jumped to go to Jesus. Now, this coat must have been very valuable to Bartimaeus. You know why? The cloak would have been placed before him to collect alms by day, and would have been his source of warmth by night. But as soon as he knew he was given the opportunity to get to Jesus, he abandoned his earthly treasure, what he valued in life, in order to be with Jesus. He counted the cost and he was willing to pay whatever price was necessary just to get to Jesus. Beloved, do you have that kind of desperation right now? Are you willing to abandon everything just in order for you to get to just in order for you to get to Jesus? Is that your desire? Now, as Bartimaeus stood before Jesus here, verse 51 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" This question may seem odd to ask a blind man. Of course, Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed. He needed to see. But he asked Bartimaeus so he could reflect on his need and then to ask, and in so doing, express his trust in Christ. And it's the same of us when we pray. We don't pray to God and make our requests known to Him because God needs to be informed of these things, or that He needs a little help in learning our situation. Friend, He knows before we ever ask. He is omniscient. He knows better than we know. And yet He instructs us to ask, He instructs us to pray, because through asking, we express our dependence on Him. And not only that, we also enter into fellowship with Him. And He's seeking to cultivate fellowship with us. And so we do this through prayer, and as we ask and receive, our faith is being strengthened and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus deepens. You know, we started our prayer and fasting last Friday, and it was so encouraging to see our church member commit themselves to prayer and fasting. And it is my prayer that we would use this time as individuals, as families, as a church to be serious in prayer. This is how we respond to a crisis. As the people of God, we know from the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people, when they face a crisis, their spiritual reflex causes them to pray. Because as we pray, we are expressing our dependence on God. We are saying, "Lord, we need You." We are acknowledging our limitations. We are saying we are inadequate. We are saying, "Lord, all these things that are happening are really beyond our control." And we plead before You, God, have mercy on us as a nation. That is the desperate cry we must have right now. And here, as Jesus was drawing Bartimaeus into that fellowship, again, He was challenging his faith. And He's going to strengthen that faith and reward that faith. And so as Jesus asked him this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Without any hesitation, he answered, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." He simply expresses his desire to see. Verse 52 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Instantaneous healing, no surgery, no rehabilitation, no medical treatment. Just like in the previous miracles of our Lord, this man was healed immediately. Now, as Jesus healed Bartimaeus, I want you to notice what Jesus said before the healing took place. He said, "Your faith has made you well." Now, what did Jesus mean by that? Does he mean that the power of this blind man's faith caused the cure? We need to answer that question because today we hear so often that, you know, people say, in order for you to receive healing, all you need to do is have much faith. And the catch there is that if they're not healed, well, it's their fault. It shows that they don't have enough faith. And they say God just really wants to heal everybody and people just keep failing in their faith. And there are some who actually use this verse to support that idea. But is that what Jesus is saying here? Is he saying that Bartimaeus' faith was so strong enough to cause the cure? Well, that's not what he's saying at all, because we know it's the Lord who heals. It's the Lord who performed this miracle. And we see in this passage that Jesus really took the initiative to go to Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus could not go to the Lord. The Lord came to him on that day. Jesus knew he would have this personal encounter with this blind beggar. He knew what would happen. And you need to understand, every one of us were separated from him, unable to go to him, and left to our darkness as Bartimaeus was. We would really be hopeless and helpless. But Jesus takes the initiative. He's the one who seeks the lost. And that's where we see the grace of God abounding. He comes to us when we could not go to him. And he gives sight and he enables us to understand and to believe and to follow him. So what I want you to see here is this. Faith, yes, it comes from the Lord. He moves us to believe, and yet we are responsible to believe, to trust him. And there are no blessings apart from our faith in him. The other thing I want you to see here is this. This is more than a healing. Why? Because when Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well," he used a verb in the Greek from which we get the word saved. So it means to save. Your faith has saved you. Not only did Jesus make him whole physically, but also spiritually as well. And when he did, the first sight that filled his new eyes was the face of his Savior. What a contrast this is to the rich young ruler. Bartimaeus comes to Jesus empty and receives the gift of physical healing and spiritual sight. The rich man comes with his life full of riches and so has no room left for God's grace and the only thing that will provide entrance into God's kingdom. So you need to ask yourself, who am I here? Am I like Bartimaeus, coming to God in all humility, forsaking everything in order to follow Jesus? Or am I like the rich young ruler who is so in love with this present world and that your riches are actually preventing you from having a right relationship with God? So here in Mark's narrative, we see that the poor, the sick, the blind, and the oppressed, the outcasts who exhibit faith in him, become recipients of God's grace. So as Jesus healed Bartimaeus, verse 52 says, and Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. After the healing, Jesus said, "Okay, Bartimaeus, you can go back to your town now, or to your home. Go back to your things. You're healed. You can leave now." You see, Bartimaeus, as we read on, began following him. And the last thing that I want to point out to you today, as we seek to turn adversity into opportunity, we need to follow Jesus no matter the cost. Bartimaeus shows us that he valued Jesus more than the miracle. And he was willing to follow him despite the risks involved. Now I say that because I do not want anyone to be given the impression that coming to Jesus is without personal cost. That you can have Jesus and cling to that sin that you so love. That you can have Jesus and be passionate about, you know, the sinful pleasures of this world. We cannot serve both God and money. And as you seek to follow Jesus with your all, you need to understand there are some Christians who have lost family, friends over a decision for Christ. Some have even given up even their lives because they choose to follow the Lord Jesus. Now it may be that some things will be lost in this life, but I want you to take the worst case scenario. What if you lost everything in life? The things that you valued. And today we're beginning to realize through this pandemic that anything can be taken away from you anytime. That's the reality of the world that we live in right now. How would you respond? Well, I hope you would allow these words of Jesus to be engraved in our hearts, that even if we lose the things that we value in life, we would be able to take courage and know that Jesus is more than enough. You see, Jesus said earlier in this passage, whoever loses house or family for my name's sake or for the sake of the gospel shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age and in the world to come, eternal life. Beloved, there's nothing that we can hold on to in this world that compares to what we will receive in this life as well in the world to come. Bartimaeus understood that. And if you truly understand the grace of God, gospel gratitude will cost you, will inspire you to follow Christ no matter what. Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road to the cross because he simply wanted to be near him. Jesus, for Bartimaeus, was his greatest reward, his greatest treasure. It was not the miracle that he received. Jesus was his treasure. And because Jesus was his treasure, he just simply desired to be with him, to follow him, even on the way to the cross. He treasured him above all things. For him, having Jesus is having more than enough. And let me just say this, church, we are never more secure. And Bartimaeus was never more secure than when he was with Christ or when we are with Christ. By now, I'm sure you've realized that there is no such thing as security in this world. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the next week. We don't know how long this pandemic will last. But we do know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust Him even during this difficult time. So, beloved, if you have never met Jesus, I hope this passage has shown you that He desires you to come to Him. He's never too busy to hear the cry of one who seeks Him. He stands waiting for you to come. And He has paid the price for you. He has given His life as a ransom for your sins and my sins. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus Christ has paid it all. And as we think about what He has done for us on the cross, we have to simply receive that free gift of salvation like a child, completely dependent on Him for salvation. Now for some of you who are watching this, you might think you've gone too far, your sin is too great, and you say, well, my sin is beyond forgiveness. You feel that you are hopeless and that you are helpless. But again, if Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus, if He took the time to minister to someone like Bartimaeus, He can minister to you at this very moment. All you need to do is to respond in the same way Bartimaeus responded to the call of Jesus. Come to Him in faith. Come to Him in repentance. Believe in Him. Realize your desperate condition. And let me just say that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of David. He has fulfilled those messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man, as we've been seeing in the Gospel of Mark. He has died in the place of sinners, and He invites all to believe in Him. And the Bible gives us this promise: everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. So trust in Christ. Turn to Him. The sacrifice of the cross is sufficient to remove all of your sins. Beloved, salvation is the greatest miracle anyone could receive. And this gift is being offered to you right now. And so I pray that you would not miss this opportunity, but may you seize this moment and hold on to Christ and believe in His words that His sacrifice on the cross is sufficient to save you from the power and the penalty of sins. And for those of us who have responded to the grace of Jesus Christ, we have the assurance of eternal life. But somehow through this pandemic, you are living in fear. I want us to be able to pray together as a church in our homes right now, and as we cast all our cares to the Lord Jesus who cares for us. So join me in a word of prayer right now. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for speaking to us. We thank You for reminding us that we have a God who knows our needs. We have a God who hears our cry, and we have a God who responds when we cry out to Him for deliverance. And so I pray, Lord, if there is anyone here, God, who is living in fear, who is paralyzed by fear, who is worried and anxious about tomorrow and the uncertainties of the future, I pray that You would just minister to that person right now. And remind us, oh God, as individuals and as a church, that security can never be found in this life, not in our resources, not in our businesses, not in our accomplishments. True and lasting security can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be like Bartimaeus, Lord, that we would respond to Your grace with complete faith and dependence, forsaking all, leaving our sinful past behind, and following You no matter what. We thank You, Father, for speaking to us through Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.